Good morning. Today is Tuesday, August the 11th, 224th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is the Executive Director of the Humboldt County Convention and Visitors Bureau, Tony Smithers.
Good morning, Brian.
Oh, boy. Teacher Tony's all fired up now, huh?
Oh, he sure is.
Is that what that whole pile is there? Is your first
That's just the first.
Days?
Yeah, it's the first day.
God save us from the zealous teacher.
Don't worry. I'll get tired after a while.
Yeah, yeah. You and about, what, 35 others? Oh, boy. Let's see. Our quote this morning comes from Pascal.
Blaise Pascal?
Yes. Oh. I've discovered that all human evil comes from this. Man's being unable to sit still and be quiet in a room alone.
That alone in the classroom.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, boy. I had occasion to try to drive across Eureka Sunday morning-ish.
Oh, bad idea.
About 11 o'clock. No problem. You know, kind of live in the Henderson Center area and made it back and forth.
All right.
Got my paint. Okay, I'm happy camper now. But it had the detour signs, which triggered my memory because I think Rich had something on the news station about a marathon that was being run in Eureka,
partly through Eureka,
out to the zoo or something like that.
Actually, it continued, the full marathon continued all the way around the bay and back.
Oh, out Old Arcata?
Yeah, and then then back along the Kinetic Sculpture route over the bridge and back to Old Town. That was your 26.1 miles, whatever the marathon is.
Oh, okay. Okay. How was that received?
Extremely well. Not only did people have a great time.
It was a marathon. How can you have a great time if you're running a marathon?
I don't know.
Or is this before and after? Yeah, you don't know either,
do
you?
People do.
Yeah, okay.
No. It was a marathon, and the day had other lengths of races in it as well. So everybody had at a distance that they were happy with.
The 5-foot fall?
Yes.
All right.
But the main point about the marathon, and this is the first time the Humboldt Bay Marathon was put on, this is an official qualifier for the Boston Marathon. So it is in the circuit. So that's really important because it attracts serious runners from all over the place who want to qualify for the Boston.
So what is it, not that you're an aficionado, but I'll ask anyway, what does it take to qualify? For a race to be a qualifying race?
You'll have to ask an expert.
Okay.
I should imagine you have to finish the damn thing. But
Yeah. Oh. I mean, it's kind of interesting with the Avenue of the Giants earlier in the year.
Right.
That something like this hadn't been thought of earlier.
Well, the feedback that I picked up on is that the running world said, oh my goodness, a race in August so we can actually run without dying. And so our cool coast weather was definitely a big factor in the attraction.
A lot of people show up for this thing?
I heard that there were dozens of folks from out of town. And then, of course, quite a bevy of local runners who...
Or the Clam Beach folks.
Yeah, Clam Beach, Humboldt, Humboldt Redwoods Marathon, all those folks.
Yeah. Huh. Boy, too bad they couldn't do that in September, huh? When there were more rooms.
Yeah. Still, who's going to argue? I mean, and this is the first year, so, these things all build on each other. The word gets out, the talk happens, and, good things are going to happen.
So the temperature was the really cool thing for them.
Yeah, yes.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tony Smithers. I don't have to call you PhD Tony, do I?
Piled higher and deeper?
Yes. Pitchfork Tony. Now, last time you were here, you'd indicated that you were going to be an adjunct teacher.
Lecturer.
Oh, not even a teacher. You're just lecturing to people.
Okay. Yes.
I'm sure that has some kind of specific academic definition that most of us don't care about.
it means they can pay less.
At Humboldt, kind of focused in a different area. So it was stretching you a little bit and giving them something that was a little unique. In preparation for this class that we'll talk about in a sec, what did you find that was most intriguing for you?
Either
working with or interfacing with the with the academic setting, or in just doing research for the class.
Well, I've learned a lot. There's a lot of fun stuff. You know, first of all, that the department, the Kinesiology and Recreation Department at Humboldt, is a great little family, and everyone's sort of like in the same boat and helping each other, and it's a very collegial, you know, a very welcoming.
Yeah, nice try.
So that was very pleasant to find. But I think what surprised me was I've been asked to teach a course called Geotourism, and what surprises me first was that there's no textbook and that no one in the world can agree what it is. So that
definitions.
Well, there's a couple of loose definitions out there in the world. So the
putting kind of sounds like clear cut or sustainable harvesting.
Yeah,
it's whatever you want it to be.
So I think the first goal of the class will be to put salt on its tail, so we all know what we're talking about.
I suppose that's part of what makes being on the cutting edge kind of cool. Is it, you know, there are no constrictions and restraints, that you can really morph it to accommodate what makes most sense for the students and either their knowledge of whatever this is or for a potential career. You're not constrained by McGraw-Hill and their textbook saying this is what it is or this is how you do it. No, this is how we do it in our area. And maybe it's a little bit different in Georgia, or a little bit different in Maine, or a little bit different in Argentina. Dandy.
Sure.
That's not a bad thing.
Sure. And the department, definitely, the reason why they think that I can do it is that they do like the real industry background that I can bring to it, and give the students a sense of here's the real world.
Validation.
Yeah. And so that's exciting too. So
a little daunting, perhaps.
No.
He's putting in as a teacher right now.
At this stage,
I can handle it. By golly!
At this stage of my life, I know my friend Harvey says it's time on the mat. Talk about martial arts. The more if you put your time on the mat, and then the results will be there. So I know I just got to crack the books, and then it'll come out.
As you're looking at drawing up the outline for this class, not having a textbook you can rely on or default to, mm-hmm. has that given you the freedom to really do some things that you're kind of pleased that you were able to construct?
Well, yeah, and I've been really lucky. I do have some great industry contacts that have been incredibly helpful, academically and also, tourism professionals. And more to the point, the wonderful folks at National Geographic have been bending over backwards to help me. In fact, they are going to be our main class project, will be working with National Geographic on a geotourism project.
For our area?
For our area.
Okay, so the students can get hands-on or muddy,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. Exactly, and I think that if you look through other course outlines, the one of the little keystones or touchstones seems to be something you can put in your resume or put in your portfolio is very valued.
Is this a seniors class? Is this a general ed class? Where does it fit in the academic perspective for the students?
Well, it's in the Kinesiology and Recreation Department, which has got sort of two main
it's kind of a hybrid
columns to it. On the one side there's all the sports medicine and all that area, and then on the recreation side there's a lot about guiding and leading outdoor expeditions and leaderships and all those kinds of
tours.
It's all in the recreation. People who want to look at careers in, public service, parks and recreation, public lands.
Is there a business model in there? How to run a business in the area of recreation and the area of tour? Is there dollars and cents, or is it all?
Glancing at some of the course schedules, I think that can come up in a number of the different courses that are being taught. And
but not a specific sequence.
Not a specific one. Maybe I can propose that for the future. But talking and meeting the other instructors, they're all very much focused on giving their students real skills that they can go out and use in their careers.
The front side of the business rather than the back side of the business.
Yes. Yeah. And that was good to realize that, because I tend to get a little 30,000 foot level rather than down in the dirt. So I have to sort of find a balance there.
So you've used the phrase geotourism. You don't know what it's defined as nationally or industry-wise. In 10 seconds, how do you define it for this class?
Here's the National Geographic definition. Tourism that defines or that sustains or enhances the geographical character of a place.
We'll find out what that means when we come back.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tony Smithers. Tony, the concept of geotourism, you kind of threw the definition out there real quick before we went to the break. You want to restate that?
Tourism that sustains or enhances the geographical character of a place. Second line, or semicolon, it's culture, it's environment, its heritage, its aesthetics, and the well-being of its residents. Those are all included in that definition.
So as you are looking to work this syllabus, residents is just plural, resident. what are you looking at? I would think, if National Geographic is doing cartwheels and excited about this thing, you're probably one of about two or three in the country that are doing this.
It's actually four or five. That's about it. Yeah.
Okay. So there's an opportunity for a foundation to be established, and perhaps even Humboldt State to be a destination for this kind of stuff, maybe replacing some of the other programs.
Well, it depends. They are recruiting for a actual tenure-track professor to take over the tourism department there, and if he believes in geotourism like I do, then you're right. Something could happen.
So in setting this thing up, sustainability, to use it. You like that?
Huh? That word.
Use a timber word?
That word figures largely into geotourism, yes.
How do you come at it? My sense is that this isn't an influencing. This is more of a understanding approach to this topic. So how do you keep it away from persuasion?
Well, you're gonna have to take a step back, and again, in the matter of coming up with definitions, part of the definition is to figure out just what kind of course is this.
What's the goal?
Is it a land planning course, or is it a destination planning? Is it a marketing course? Is it a historic preservation or ecological preservation? I mean, all those are different ways, the different filters of looking at it. But I'm coming from a tourism marketing point of view. So in my way of thinking, my emphasis is going to be on if you want to be a business owner or if you want to work for an agency that manages lands or historic districts or something like that, these are some tools which you can use to help build a great tourism product and market it.
So it's some of the building blocks or the tinker toys.
Yes.
To be able to go on. So this is the, ideally, would this be the first in a series of classes? Two or three that could then flush that out?
Well, I think there's different ways of slicing and dicing the whole tourism area. And, geotourism is kind of holistic, and it does nod to other disciplines. But you could also, do a really good focus on ecotourism. You can do a good focus on cultural and heritage tourism. Those are all worthy of their own, areas of study.
So I was saying when you were talking about the heritage or the cultural, I don't know if Humboldt even has a class, Humboldt County History,
mm-hmm.
or Northwestern, Northwestern California History that would talk about the Humboldt Trinity Del Norte County area, where we were, where we came from, why we are, where some of the emotional connections are for folks in the year, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
blah.
Ask Jerry Rhoda to teach it.
Oh, yeah, or, bringing the Timber Heritage guys.
Yeah.
And maybe, some of the Caltrans guys and some of the Parks guys and, that kind of stuff. It could really be kind of cool if that focus was Humboldt County or this region rather than here's a fundamental class on how you do it anywhere USA.
Right, and I'm definitely going to be trying to sort of bring it home as I can. I mean, certainly, it starts off worldwide because it is a worldwide phenomenon, but then it comes to the U.S. pretty quickly because this is where National Geographic has got most of its work done, and they have developed or worked with local groups to develop 8 or 10 geotourism areas around the country, and so we'll be looking at all those.
So if they were to select, let's say Humboldt County, so we just kind of understand where they're coming from. Would it be the historical plaques on the buildings and who did what, where, why, that kind of stuff, some stuff in the woods, some maps that would show this used to be a town, now it's berry vines or a flat or a clearing, and this used to be an active mill site, and now it's where the elk graze. This used to be a restaurant, now it's a field. I mean, that kind of stuff, is that part of this heritage concept, or do they define heritage differently?
No, that all goes in the bucket, but it goes beyond that as well, because it's also, of course, the environmental side of it, too. In most of the world, still, geotourism means geological tourism. It's going to look at landforms and understand the processes and interpret why the Grand Canyon is there,
Canyon arches, those kinds.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
That's encompassed by the new National Geographic definition, but they also throw in everything else.
The people and plants.
It's the people and plants.
Yeah.
And so, what is the it's the ABCs the destination.
Always be closing? Oh, that's the sales part
right.
of the yeah. Okay.
ABCs. Abiotic is the geology and all the stuff, biotic, all the living things, and cultural, all the human activities.
That's going to take the kids a little bit of time to remember, abiotic. Yeah, KINS. This isn't a biology class, is it? It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Tony Smithers.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. Final couple minutes this morning with Tony Smithers. Tony, so what is the basic guts of this thing? Now, you kind of you've talked a little bit about some of the approach and some of the challenges and trying to wrestle with the definition of the geotourism class you'll be teaching in a couple of weeks. What's your basic structure or outline of the course?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's to familiarize the students with what's going on worldwide, you know, in tourism in general and geotourism.
Just general awareness.
Yeah. But then pretty quickly, I want to just basically steal from National Geographic because they have, you know, put
with
a lot
permission.
Of permission. Oh, yes. In fact, many years ago, I was at a tourism conference in Monterey, and a gentleman there was talking about cultural tourism, and his name was Jonathan Turtolo. And I thought at the time he was interesting. Well, it turns out he's kind of like the guru of geotourism. In fact, he more or less invented the term, at least in the United States, and has consulted with the society in their Center for Destination Stewardship, which is kind of where a lot of their geotourism programs live, and has also worked with them on what they call their sustainability index, the Destination Stewardship Index, where they would take every now and then to do a worldwide survey of how different areas are managing their destinations and keeping them intact in a geotourism sense. You know, integrity of place is kind of like the watchword.
So in by intact, does that mean nobody being able to access?
No.
So it stays, or allowing access but renovating or maintaining?
It's maintained. It's like, are the historic structures repaired and maintained to keep them, you know, intact? Does the destination have a continuity of traditions and old, you know, festivals and celebrations and that sort of fabric of cultural life, you know, are those things going on? And, you know, is the environment being protected in all the different ways that it can be, et cetera, et cetera? So they basically, you know, gave all these definitions, all these destinations different scores. And so we were on it, actually. They did the north coast of California from Marin to Eureka was one was one destination. You know, worldwide they
to
did
Eureka,
this.
Not Arcata.
Not past
not McKinleyville.
No, they didn't count McKinleyville. And I think at the
how'd
time
how do we do?
We're currently at a B. We score a B, so we
that's
have some
okay
room for improvement.
At least we be there.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
Okay, bye.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Have some fun. See you then.